Does Western Wisconsin have a human trafficking problem? That is the question we're going to ask this hour. You might not want to believe it, but the industry that's been described as modern-day slavery does touch our state and our region, and there's evidence that we'll talk about this hour to prove it. This hour, we are going to talk about the scourge of human trafficking, what's being done to combat it, and what you can do to help. I'm Rich Kramer. This is The West Side. I'd like to introduce my guests now, two women on the issue. Jody Emerson joins us in our studios in Eau Claire. She is the Director of Development for Fierce Freedom. Fierce Freedom is a victims advocate group, also a group that has the goal of ending human trafficking in our state and abroad. Jody Emerson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Also joining us from our studios in La Crosse is Jill Billings. Jill is a Democratic state representative from La Crosse. She's also introduced legislation that would help victims of sex trafficking and human trafficking in our state. Jill Billings, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning. Listeners, we'd like to hear from you as well. This is a conversation that is ripe for comment or questions. If you would like to call in, the number is 1-800-228-5615. Again, we're talking about human trafficking in Wisconsin, but also right here in western Wisconsin and the Chippewa Valley. 800-228-5615. If you have experience with this, if you've just seen it in the news and are having trouble understanding how it connects to us here in this part of the state, call in 800-228-5615. So some quick statistics. The latest sting operation by the FBI was called Operation Cross Country, nationwide, but some statistics from the state, as reported, Appleton, one adult, one trafficker, Brown County, 10 adults, three traffickers, Fond du Lac, one adult, one juvenile, one trafficker, La Crosse, two adults, one trafficker, Milwaukee, 11 adults, five juveniles, Monroe County, one juvenile, Oak Creek, five adults, Oshkosh, three adults, one trafficker. The list goes on and on. What does this tell us? Is this just old news to you, Jody Emerson, because we've seen this? There was a sting, I believe, last year as well. Is this surprising to you?
Yeah, I guess for somebody that works with human trafficking issues, it's not surprising to me at all. I'm sure for the vast majority of the general population, this is surprising. Racine County or Racine itself had 20 adult victims that they found.
Right.
And I just want to point out that this is just kind of a snapshot. It wasn't like the FBI said, oh, there's some problems happening and we're seeing this increase. We're going to do this. This was just a snapshot. So if you take this has happened over, I believe, a 2 or 3 day period, we could replicate these numbers every single day in Wisconsin.
Right.
And that's what we're looking at. So it is happening everywhere. It's happening, Monroe, they talked about, and Milwaukee. I mean, it's not just an urban problem. It happens in small areas. It happens in large areas. And it really is a problem all across the state.
And in La Crosse, Jill Billings, two adults, one trafficker was caught. There are also some news stories recently of some local stings that were done down there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But what do you feel? What do you think? And what do you hear from the people you represent, Jill Billings, when you get news like this?
Well, this is an issue that is statewide. Some people have the idea that this doesn't occur in my community or it doesn't occur in rural areas of the state, but this is a statewide problem, and I think that sting brought that to light. And worldwide, it's one of the fastest growing criminal enterprises. It is a $32 billion industry. So you look at it globally, huge problem. You look at it in our state, and it's a problem throughout our state.
Jody Emerson, why isn't this an urban problem, solely an urban problem? Again, we're going to get into the perception, I think, of this, mm-hmm. of what sex trafficking, human trafficking is. But how come it's not just in Milwaukee or just in Madison, where you've got large segments of population, where you imagine someone maybe just you know, walking the streets, for lack of better terms.
I think it looks different in Milwaukee than it does in Eau Claire. There definitely are some areas of Milwaukee where it's known as the track, where they walk up and down and people can go and pick up prostitutes. 90% of prostitution is pimp-controlled prostitution, so it's human trafficking. We don't have necessarily a track in the Chippewa Valley where people can go and pick up people, but there's websites where you can go and order somebody off of and meet them at a hotel or a rest stop or a parking lot, things like that. It is happening all over. And I think we want to kind of hide our heads in the sand because we don't see it right there on the street. Because of the internet, it's hidden. Hmm. And if we don't see it, it's not happening. So, but it is happening in our communities.
Before we go to the phones, go ahead, Jill Billings.
And we find throughout our state the main highways, the interstate and the main highway system really is also a route for human trafficking, where people are traveling and bringing people who are being trafficked up and down those corridors. So in my area, where Interstate 90 comes into this state, that's a problem for us that we're sort of one of the corridors of human trafficking, and it brings something to our community that people are surprised to learn about and not happy to have that in our community or anywhere.
We've got I-94, Highway 41 over in the Green Bay area. Lots of arteries through the state. Lots of commerce. Some of it illicit, obviously. We go to the phones now. In Eau Claire, we're hearing from Chris. Chris, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, my daughter is a victim right now.
Okay.
And everywhere you turn, no one can help you. As a parent, why is that? I'm sitting here with my hands tied because she's over 18, and now she is out of the state. It is proven online that they are spelling her, and she's in Memphis, Tennessee, and the police down there just keep telling me to leave it to the Lord. There is a time and place for religion. This is not it yet. There needs to be action. There needs to be something that someone can do.
Well, Jody Emerson, please respond.
Yeah, I know a little bit about this case, and I know that Chris has been having a lot of frustration because it is an out of the area situation. I feel like we're really lucky in this area, especially the Eau Claire police really seem to understand the concept of human trafficking and understand that you're not going to have a victim that's coming up and saying, help, somebody sexually assaulted me and made me charge money for it. It really is a hard crime to fight because you don't have that victim coming up and saying somebody needs to help me out of this situation. And so you end up having to have concerned community members or family members like Chris jumping in. And I know this situation has been hard because Chris's daughter is over 18 now. And so then we're not dealing with trafficking of a child. We're dealing with trafficking of an adult. And it's a little bit different rules that are set up. Plus just not having the connections down in Memphis. It is a really hard situation, and I know, we've been trying our best to connect with Memphis nonprofits to get them to be involved in the case as well. I think Chris is experiencing a lot of the frustration that we see with a lot of people that, how can you get in and jump in and help these people when, there's just roadblocks all over the place.
And Chris, if you had, some kind of a magic key, or if there was one thing you could do or tell them to do, despite the laws, despite the your child, your daughter being an adult, what would you like to see done?
I'd like to know where you first start. I mean, there's no guidelines to, okay, we start here, we go to, There has to be a plan. How do you get them out of there? I mean, how do you begin that process? I actually went down there to try and get her, and they wouldn't let her go.
They being whoever she's, the police or a trafficker?
I would assume it would be the trafficker.
Oh man,
I don't have names.
Oh no, none needed. Well, Chris, thank you for sharing your story. We really appreciate it, and best of luck to you. I think the starting point would be reaching out to a nonprofit or the law enforcement, agencies. So, best of luck, and thank you. Jill Billings, please.
I would also like to express my sympathy to Chris. What a terrible situation to be in, and the response from authorities just to leave it to the Lord is not appropriate, to say in the least. And I don't really have any answers for what she can do now, except to, I would say, you know, maybe try to work with an interstate authority like the FBI if you're not getting satisfaction with the law enforcement in Tennessee. There was actually a show on public TV called The Path Appears, and talked about trafficking in three different situations, and one was in Tennessee, and some work that they're doing to get women out of trafficking and put them on the right path, which takes quite a while. I mean, these women are manipulated into this situation, often are fearful for life, and so that's a difficult situation. I think it sounds like Chris's daughter was brought in at an earlier age, and I think to focus on kids that are brought in is such an important part of this, and that's the legislation that I've been working on. So, you know, hopefully we can be doing better in Wisconsin in the future.
Chris, thank you again for sharing your story. Best of luck to you and your daughter. Thank you for calling in. The number is 1-800-228-5615. If you've got a question or a comment, we're talking now with Jody Emerson of Fierce Freedom. It's the Chippewa Valley group aimed at combating human trafficking. Jill Billings is a Democratic state representative joining us from our studios in La Crosse, and she has authored legislation to make it easier for victims to kind of reintegrate into society. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Number to call in, 1-800-228-5615. Jody Emerson, is it easier to get children out of human trafficking situations or the sex trade than it is an adult?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, with all of this human trafficking situation, you know, it's not like the movie Taken, where somebody is kidnapped and you know, transported to a human, a sex trafficking ring. It's a lot of coercion and manipulation and brainwashing that's used. And I've got a great job for you, or I've got a modeling job for you, or things like that. And these traffickers prey on boys and girls' hopes and dreams. You know, maybe it's to be loved. Maybe it's to have a great job. Maybe it's just to have a roof over their head. So these victims feel like they owe the trafficker something. And so it's not just as easy as, you know, a cop coming up to them and saying, do you need to get out of the situation? They say, well, yes, sir, I do. And then, you know, walking away to a different home. With kids, we don't have to prove as much. We don't have to prove force, fraud, or coercion like we do with adults. So the statute's a little bit different, and that's easier to deal with in Wisconsin. But, you know, we still don't have much for services at all in the state. I think there's probably one home down in the general Milwaukee area that has anywhere between 5 and 8 beds, and that's all we have for the state as far as a dedicated sex trafficking restorative property. And that's for girls under the age of 18. So what do you do if you're a boy? What do you do if you're over 18? Things like that. We're so lacking in services in this state. Especially compared to our neighbors to the west, Minnesota. They've got some great programs over there where they really help restore people. And we're getting there in Wisconsin. So I don't want to say that, you know, nobody's doing anything. But when you have somebody like Chris on the phone where she's experiencing it right now, we can't wait 2 years to get these programs up and running. We can't wait till another budget cycle goes through and things like that. These people are in desperate need of safe houses and counseling and, you know, restorative therapies today.
The feeling of a parent having their hands tied in a situation like that must be unbearable.
I can't imagine what she's going through.
800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about human trafficking in Wisconsin and right here in western Wisconsin, our region. Join in with your with your calls, with your questions, and with your comments. 800-228-5615. I'm joined by Jody Emerson and Jill Billings, State Representative Jill Billings. We'll be right back with more West Side after this short break.
The Joy Cardine Show, The Larry Mueller Show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs and many more are possible thanks to listener support. You can learn about programs, schedules, and so much more at WPR.org. Thank you.
Support also comes from the Widespot Performing Arts Center in Stockholm. Midwest playwright, humorist, and storyteller Kevin Kling comes to the Widespot Saturday night at 7. Details and tickets are available at widespotperformingarts.org.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about human trafficking in western Wisconsin, the state as a whole, and just the problem overall. 800-228-5615 to call in. I'm joined by Democratic State Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse and Jody Emerson. She's the Director of Development for Victims Advocate Group Fierce Freedom. 800-228-5615. We have a call now, another one from Eau Claire, and Ruth is on. Ruth, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just taken by what Chrissy was saying on the phone, the parent who has a daughter who's currently being trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when I listened to her, what I heard was her asking for some specifics. You know, like, what do I do? What can I do? You know, she went to Memphis. She went down there, but then what? And so my questions are too: what support is there for families in these situations, or is there just really no support locally at this point because of a lack of funding? And then, what are some of the signs and symptoms of this that families who are out there listening right now might say, oh, gee, I have a young adult. I mean, those late teens, those early 20s, I mean, I think there are families who lose touch with kids because the kids are like, I'm on my own, I'm doing my own thing. You know, at what point do you say, wait a minute, this is more than I'm just out there doing my own thing. I've got to put my radar up and I need to step in a little more. So two questions. That sort of symptom one, and then the second, what support exists for families who are in crisis now to actually guide, support, listen, and give them some concrete steps about in terms of what they can try to do legally? I guess they they don't want to get into more trouble, I imagine.
Sure. Right. People have to be safe and they have to be smart about it as well. Great questions, Ruth. I appreciate it. 800-228-5615 if anyone else has calls for or questions for our guests. Jody Emerson, I'm going to start with you. Let's start with what support. I mean, Chris has obviously, she's reached out to Fierce Freedom. What is the first thing you do, and at what point does the support kind of just wait and see?
And I know with Chris's situation, it's hard because, you know, we're dealing not even across state lines, but across multiple state lines.
Yeah.
You know, if this was happening in Minnesota, just because of our close connection, we know a few more entities over there. And I could say, oh, yeah, check with this group, that type of thing. You know, down in Memphis, I don't really have a whole lot of connections down there. So we're doing the best that we can to plug her into those situations. If somebody was being trafficked in this area, a lot of the support that they would get as far as victim services would probably come from the district attorney's office, you know, crime witness victim programs that we have set up here. I don't know what there is down in Memphis. And because the crime didn't occur here, I don't know whether she can access some of those services that would be here. So, you know, the first thing that you need to do is obviously get in contact with law enforcement, which she has done. You know, you just need to work that law enforcement angle from there. As far as warning signs for, you know, if people are going through this, it's really hard to say because the warning signs can be also indicative of other issues that people have. you know, depression, suicide, attempting suicide, those type of things, drug and alcohol issues. So, you know, it's changes in groups of friends. It's seclusion from the people who you were normally hanging around, changes in your physical, mental, just normal stuff. I think people kind of get a gut feeling like something's not right. But then there are some other key signs that we have. If we're looking at maybe teenagers in this area, you know, a 15-year-old dating a 25, 26-year-old boyfriend or something like that, that's kind of a really big warning sign that this guy might not be necessarily just wanting to date her and take her to homecoming dance. He's maybe has some other ulterior motives. And just kind of that withdrawnness, maybe not looking people in the eye as much, that type of thing. But then there's also other situations, too, as far as, you know, a lot of times people are recruited for various jobs. I know I talked earlier about modeling jobs or things like that. And so kind of if it feels too good to be true, it probably is. That's another warning sign, too.
And what about support for family members, you know, a person like Chris or whoever that is just at their wits' end, they're frustrated, that you know, they're probably feeling a lot of anxiety. Is there any kind of support group for them, or is it, who can they talk to? Do they just reach out to family?
Yeah, I guess I would, you know, advise her to, you know, check with some local counseling. I'm sure there's some that are more directly involved with sexual assault issues than others, and those would probably be good for her to contact with. I do want to kind of clarify with Fierce Freedom, we're a awareness and education group. We don't do direct services, so we don't do any direct counseling with victims or their families, that type of thing. We get out there and we talk about human trafficking because we really need to raise that level of awareness just in the general community before we can even get some of these other situations set up, some counseling, some support groups, some, you know, rescue homes and that type of thing. So
I would like to we'll talk about raising awareness and some of the challenges that, that there must be in doing that. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Amy. She's from Appleton. She's driving through the area. Amy, you're on the air. Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I guess mine is more of a comment. I find this so disturbing, just the culture in the United States right now that is victim blaming, the assault on women, human reproductive rights. I mean, that we can't even get a real conversation going about what this is really about. That it, I find in the conversations I've had with peers that this is an idea that these women are choosing this and that they're just making bad decisions, whereas this is a real crime, and this is a manipulation of power and control through the use of drugs, alcohol, violence. I mean, I am fortunate enough to travel outside the United States, and human trafficking is an international problem. What people are doing with even refugees coming out of Syria is in the line of this, that people are making money moving desperate people from generally bad situations to work. And that's the conversation I would really like to sort of incite here, that this is a very detailed problem, but it is being fed by these other issues that are going on in our culture. And I'd like to hear a comment from both of your guests, please, and I'll take it offline. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy, for the call. Number to call in, 800-228-5615 for anyone else out there in our listening area who's got a question or a comment. Jill Billings, I'd like to start with you. What about the victim shaming? I mean, we in the Midwest, we're fairly conservative socially. You know, that's the stereotype, at least. Do you think, let's talk about stigmas.
I appreciate the caller's comments, and I couldn't agree more that this is an issue that in the past was sort of greeted with a wink and sort of a chuckle, even still by a lot of people. And who's really helped with that? Our advocacy groups, our anti-human trafficking task force, the faith community has really stepped up and really worked to educate the public on this issue so that they understand the reality of the women and men, girls and boys that get sucked in to human trafficking. I first learned about this issue at a at a symposium in La Crosse, and someone came up to me afterwards and said, can't we do something about this? Can't you look at some legislation to help on this? And this, I believe that this issue is in front of the legislature now, in main part because of the incredible advocacy that's been done by the faith community and our anti-human trafficking task forces. The squeaky wheel gets a grease, and this is an issue that has been brought in front of us. And we, Representative LaTanya Johnson and I, hosted a symposium last year to help educate other legislators about this, and we had great people come and talk. I know Jody testified at the public hearing on behalf of our Safe Harbor bill for kids who are human trafficked. That education component is huge. And it doesn't just end with the general public. The work that Jody's doing in high schools is, I believe, life-changing with kids so that they understand what human trafficking is, how kids can get sucked into it, and what to be careful for, especially with those groups that are high-risk kids who don't have necessarily a home where they feel valued and loved. And so that has been, for Wisconsin, that has been really important for us to try to bring us up to the levels of concern on these issues that our surrounding states have.
And Jody Emerson, as far as raising awareness, is it tough in, I mean, because sex is a taboo, supposedly. You know, a lot of people find it uncomfortable to talk about. And I imagine sex crime or sex trafficking would have that same kind of stigma following it. So if you could speak to that and also talk about the whole idea of the victims being, you know, having this shadow following them.
Yep, absolutely. You know, it's, I always think about how difficult it is for people of any sexual assault to come up and talk about it, to say, you know, I was raped on a date, or I was assaulted by a friend, by a relative, by a coworker, whatever the situation is. And then you add the money factor in, and then there's a shame with it, too. Not only did this happen, but somebody gave me money for it. And so I just don't want to talk about it. And then, you know, it's nobody wants to bring it up. What did you do to ask for it? There is, the caller was right. There is this whole victim blaming atmosphere about that. And I think we've had some things that have happened in the media in the last, you know, quarter of a century, like the movie Pretty Woman coming out. You know, mm-hmm. This is not what prostitution looks like. You know, nobody's going to come in multimillionaire and save your day type of thing. You're right. Going to get beat. You're going to have a gun to your head. You know, they're not treating you like a princess. They're abusing you. They're paying to abuse you.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but what about the idea that, you know, we hear, oh, it's the oldest profession, that prostitution, you know, that among some people maybe it's a source of pride, but the fact that someone can, you know, choose their own destiny.
Right.
But is that idea, you mentioned 90% of people in prostitution, there's a pimp involved.
Absolutely. And so I guess I would go back to, and I think we need to have a much broader conversation in our society about what is happening that's bringing this up there. Yes, it's the oldest profession in the world. But you know what? 4,000 years ago, we didn't have women's voting rights. We didn't have women's education. If you were married and your husband died and you had kids to raise, that was the only thing that you could do. I'd like to think in 4,000 years that we've evolved as a society, that we don't have to have people have to do that. You know, we need better jobs. We need better education. We need all kinds of things that you know, wrap around people. I mean, if you go in, Jill talked about how we go in with high schools. You know, I like to take it even a step back further. And if you sit down with a group of kindergarten kids, you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I can guarantee you not one of them is going to raise their hand and say, I want to be a prostitute when I grow up. And so what has happened from that age to age 12 or 14, which is the average age of entry into the United States human trafficking, that has caused, you know, what's the shift there? Is it that they're being sexually abused at home? Is it, you know, what's the situation? Why, you know, are they running away from something? Whatever. And just to another point that I kind of noted as Jill was talking about the Safe Harbor hearing, when we were dealing with that bill down in Madison, one of the legislators said, well, we don't have real big numbers on this, meaning that there's not a whole lot of kids who are being prosecuted for a prostitution crime. And the comment was along the lines of, so why should we deal with this?
Right. What's the big deal?
You know, okay, so we've got a couple dozen kids every year who are being put in jail because they're being forced into prostitution. And my way of looking at it is, if we have one person who's being wrongly convicted of something, it's one too many.
And what about data gathering for this, you know, this problem anyway? How can we know? I mean, we have this sting, 9 in Wisconsin. Well, there's a lot of people, I think maybe 5 to 7 million in the state overall. I'm not sure. But 9 kids.
Yep.
Again, so what? But are we just, is that a, you said a snapshot in time. How accurate of a snapshot could that be?
Well, and that was just in those communities, too.
Right.
You know, Eau Claire wasn't looked at. I don't think Wausau was looked at. Superior was looked at,
right.
That type of thing. And there's a lot of problems in our areas as well, because we are connected with those arteries, like Joe was talking about. But we don't have good data, but it's getting better. There are a few programs that are going through right now that's going to help us kind of key in on some of the at-risk kids and people who have been trafficked a little bit better. So
we have another call.
Go
ahead, Jill Billings, before we go to the caller.
I think what we finally established at the public hearing is that 23 kids were arrested last year for human trafficking. Now, some people might say, well, 23 kids, you know, that's not that big of a deal, is it? But when you think about those kids trying to get back on the right track, so what do you do when you apply for a job and it asks if you've been convicted of a felony? Okay, what do you do when you fill out your FAFSA? Say you get to the point, you find mentors, you get back on track, you want to go to school. You fill out your FAFSA, your financial aid statement, and it asks if you've been convicted of a felony. There are people who haven't been able to get jobs, who have had problems going to school because they have this on their record. And Wisconsin really should not consider minors involved with sex trafficking to be criminals. I think they should be looked at as victims. That's the way our surrounding neighbors look at those kids. So instead of arresting them, we should be bringing them in through the human services side, finding a safe place for them to be, get them treatment. A lot of these kids have post-traumatic stress. They've been through very, very difficult situations where they may be trafficked 10, 15 times a day. Mm. And they have health issues. And to bring them in through human services, these are children. We should bring them in through human services and get them back on the right track. To arrest them and to settle them with a record on top of everything else they've gone through is just the wrong thing to do. When you look at our surrounding states, Minnesota has a wonderful model for us where they have a head of human trafficking. They've got different navigators or specialists that work in the state that work with kids who are at risk, that educate law enforcement on this issue. And the thing is, when you bring someone in through human services and get them services rather than arrest them, you have a less adversarial situation. And if you have a less adversarial situation with those kids that are trafficked, they're much more likely, we've seen in Minnesota, they're much more likely to cooperate with law enforcement and help us get the perpetrators, the people that are selling flesh, the people that we really want to have in jail, not kids.
We'll talk about how your safe harbor bill, the bill introduced by Jill Billings into the legislature, does that in just a bit. First, let's go to the phone. We're going to hear from Arlene in Elmina. Arlene, you're on the air. Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question. It seems like we have to get like the people that are making big businesses on this, because you can go on the computer and you can Google and you can get up teenagers, amateurs, doing sex acts. You can go on DirecTV and it's PPV, pay-per-view for teenagers. And it's like so many areas out there that would be so easy to identify and shut down and give the message, this isn't okay, this is illegal. And sometimes it just feels like when I hear like a teenager being arrested, it feels like the 12-year-old that smoked pot or the 14-year-old that smoke pot getting arrested versus the perpetrator getting them into that or the big business.
Sure. Thank you so much for that, Arlene. I appreciate it. Let's talk first about websites. I mean, she's mentioning some pornography websites, I imagine, but also you've got Craigslist, and there's this website, Backpage.com, which I see popping up in all these news articles about sex trafficking. Basically, it's an online classified section, but if you go there, you can see, I mean, there's escort. It's a pretty plain as day. Jody Emerson, how do you fight against that?
It's very thinly veiled. It doesn't, you know, come right out and say we're going to pay. You're going to pay, you know, X number of dollars for, you know, X, Y, and Z sex act. But everybody knows what they're talking about there.
Before we went on air, I looked at the website and there's a number of listings for Eau Claire, and that's just it blew my mind.
Yep, there are some things that are happening federally to fight Backpage because their business model is completely built around their adult entertainment section. They don't. You can sell your house on Backpage. You can sell your lawnmower, your car, your whatever, and they don't charge you anything. As soon as you put that adult entertainment ad on there, whether it's escort, website, you know, massage, whatever, that's where they earn their money.
And they get a cut.
They pay. You have to pay to put these ads on there.
Okay.
And so I think 2 years ago it was $45 million. Well, they've got a few lawyers behind them that are going to fight to keep this section open. There's been some stuff that happened over the summer where Visa and MasterCard are no longer going to be processing payments. So they can't do these anonymous prepaid debit cards anymore. They have to go through a PayPal account or Bitcoin or different things like that. And so I think the police officers are in law enforcement are able to kind of track it down a little bit better. So I think we're getting closer to being able to shut down a place like Backpage. But as soon as we shut it down, another one's going to pop right back up again. So it'll be a different name. It'll take us a little longer to figure out where it's at and what's going on. But, you know, the criminals are always one step ahead of the law enforcement, it seems like.
Arlene also mentioned the idea of, you know, she hears about these arrests and she thinks of the 14-year-old getting caught smoking pot and, you know, she not wanting to see those people dragged through the system, the legal system. We're going to talk about the Safe Harbor Bill introduced by Jill Billings and LaTanya Johnson right after this break. You're listening to The West Side. We're talking about human trafficking in Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin. In particular, Jody Emerson is the Director of Development for Fierce Freedom. Jill Billings is a Democratic State Representative from La Crosse. This is The West Side.
Hi there. This is John Munson. I'm off to Canada next summer for a railroading journey through British Columbia and the Canadian Rockies from Vancouver to Jasper. Our fully guided holiday vacations tour departs June 15th and includes the Columbia Icefield, Stanley Park, Banff, and the Bouchard Gardens. Airfare, hotels, and many meals are included. Details available now at wpr.org/travel.
Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin Alliance of Artists and Craftspeople, presenting Winter Art Fair Off the Square at Monona Terrace in Madison this Saturday and Sunday, celebrating the talents and creativity of Wisconsin artists for more than 36 years. Support also comes from Xcel Energy, committed to partnering with local communities to deliver safe, reliable energy and to promote economic development, support local organizations, and create employment opportunities. More at xcelenergy.com.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. Next week, we're going to be talking about downtown development in Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and Menominee. This hour, we're talking about sex trafficking in western Wisconsin. I'm joined by Jody Emerson. She's the Director of Development for Fierce Freedom. It's a awareness-raising organization that aims to combat human trafficking in Wisconsin and abroad. I'm also joined by Jill Billings. She's a Democratic state representative from La Crosse, joins us in La Crosse, and she and another state rep have introduced a bill that would basically, in, maybe this is a crude way of saying it, but decriminalize trafficking from the victim's standpoint, from the person being trafficked. So Jill Billings, we heard Arlene from Almena say that she doesn't like the idea of, you know, these kids that may have made a mistake, these young kids, these adolescents under 18, doesn't want to see the rest of their lives ruined because of something they got caught up in when they were kids. So how does the Safe Harbor Bill that you and Representative Johnson, I believe, introduced, how does that help?
Yes, I've, I've introduced this legislation with Representative LaTanya Johnson from the Milwaukee area, and she's had concerns about kids that are human trafficked since before she was elected to the assembly. Senator Harsdorf has authored the companion bill in the Senate. Mm. We have bipartisan support of this bill, which is a very positive thing, and I'm happy for people on both sides of the aisle who have signed on to this legislation. This basically looks at the legislative inconsistency that in Wisconsin, it's actually a crime to have sex with a child, and a child cannot legally give consent to having sex. So we have crimes of child enticement and solicitation of a child for prostitution.
Statutory rape?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
And that, but if a child isn't involved, I think that they...
Oh, and we have just lost connection with Jill Billings. So as I work frantically to reconnect there...
I can take it from
could
here.
Could you take it from here, Jody? Thank you.
Yeah. So I think some of the stuff that Jill was talking about is that on one hand, a child can't consent to sex, but on the other hand, they can be prosecuted for the crime of selling sex. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to equate between the two pieces of the legislation. It also doesn't fall in line with federal legislation. Anybody under the age of 18 isn't prosecuted on a federal level. So it's something that we really are excited to see that this is going through. Like Jill said, there's a lot of bipartisan support, especially in this area. And I think part of it is because we talk to legislators and we say, this is what human trafficking looks like. These are some of the kids from your district who could have been charged with prostitution. And we need to make the law consistent so that they're not charged with that.
So having them not have to carry around that charge with them forever, I mean, what kind of doors does that open? I mean, what kind of doors does... Is prostitution, if you're charged as a minor, is that a felony or is that a misdemeanor? I thought it was a misdemeanor.
To be honest, I don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, you get repeated attempts or, you know, repeated charges on there and then that they're looking at something different. But the other thing is, you know, if a child can't consent to sex, how can they be, you know...
Right.
Responsible for it. I mean, these are victims of crimes that we're looking at. You know, I like to kind of equate it to car traffic. And if you're sitting out here on Claremont Avenue at a red light and you're obeying the law and some car comes up behind you and hits your car and forces you through that red light, you didn't want to go through the red light, but you're forced to go through that red light because of somebody else's actions. Are you then charged with running a red light?
Mm-hmm.
Or do the police look at you as a victim of a crime and go after the person who forced you into it? That's what I think we need to change kind of our mindset and stop looking at these kids as, you know, somebody who made a bad decision. These were kids who were manipulated into something by people who had very devious thoughts. You know, somebody who's willing to make money off of kids being raped. You know, that's the person we want in jail. We don't want a 15-year-old in jail because of whatever situation.
We want the predators to sit behind bars. Jill Billings, are you back with us?
I'm back.
All right, thanks. Sorry about that. I don't know how we got disconnected. But we just, Jody kind of filled in for you and talked about a little bit more about how the not charging a child with prostitution would help them... you know, in terms of getting a job or just not having that hang over them. There's another part of the bill, though, too, and it basically directs child welfare agencies to take a stronger stance if they suspect human trafficking, correct?
Right. The idea is that kids who are sex trafficked are victims, and rather than put them in jail and saddle them with a record, we should be bringing them in through the human services side and providing a safe place for them to stay and provide treatment, provide health care, and get them back on the right track Yeah.
And I'm just curious, where is the bill right now? I mean, you introduced it, what, earlier this year, right?
Representative LaTanya Johnson and I introduced it. Senator Harsdorf sponsored the, or she authored the companion bill in the Senate. And earlier this year, we spent a lot of time talking to stakeholders and groups that would be affected by this. We want to make sure that we have treatment in place and safe places in place. So we've done a lot of conversation, had a lot of conversations with the counties who provide the services for these kids, Department of Children and Family, and so at that, we finally got a hearing on the bill last week. We had a really good public hearing, I think, that tried to educate legislators on both sides. There's still more education to be done. A judge from La Crosse County, Judge Ramona Gonzalez, came, and she has a great authority in this area and has had training, and she gave a really nice description of how the law would work and why it's important. And so, you know, we're still working on the legislation. There could be an amendment to come, and then we'll be looking for a vote in the committee and then hopefully bring it to the full assembly. Now, in the Senate, it also has to be on two tracks, one in the assembly, one in the Senate. So we'll be working in the Senate to get the public hearing and also educate senators on this issue, and then hopefully it passes both houses and the governor signs it.
So it's still got a ways yet to go, it sounds like. So, and I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but there are some bills that are kind of being pushed through relatively quickly right now, including changes to the Government Accountability Board, you know, higher contributions and campaign finance laws, plenty of other bills as well. Excuse me. Is that frustrating, seeing some of that stuff that might seem a little less dire than human trafficking get pushed through first?
It is frustrating. I have a sense of urgency, as does Jody, on this issue. And the more I've learned, the more urgent I feel. But as I've told my staff, if this bill doesn't make it through, it's not because we haven't worked hard enough and other people haven't worked hard enough on this legislation. There is some pushback from some people who still feel that we need to arrest children to keep them safe. There are some people that want us to go a little slower to make sure that we have places for the kids that are safe. As Jody said, we do have some places that already exist in Wisconsin. We will likely have to beef that up a bit. I know that there are a lot of sort of public-private partnerships that people are talking about this issue and wanting to do something on this issue. So I don't think the only solution comes from government alone, but that we can develop some partnerships where people who care about these children who are in these horrendous, terrible situations, we can provide them with a safe harbor. And it's been done in other states, and really Wisconsin needs to step up. So I just keep educating people. I keep pushing this message, and hopefully we'll see some satisfaction. And I always say, even if we don't get everything we want this year, the great thing is that there are so many more legislators that have this on their radar screen now. The people that didn't even think about this, that didn't even know this was happening, now know about it. And so other people are kind of percolating with ideas. Well, what if we do this? What if we could help kids with this? I know the Department of Justice and the Department of Children and Family created a task force, should be meeting by the end of 2015, they've said. So, you know, I think the reason why they're they're focusing on this is because we are pushing them. We are pushing them to this. And I just am going to keep pushing.
People are pushing. People are talking. That's raising awareness. I want to talk about resources. But first, if you could just, Jody Emerson, you're going to be on that state commission, right?
Or, I have been invited to be on the task force,
on
yes.
On the task force. Yep. So what are the aims, and is it just kind of a – I mean, what can a task force of people from around the state really do in farm – because we get resource issues at the local right. law enforcement levels and all that.
Well, I think we have pockets throughout Wisconsin that have some really good resources where we're tackling it with billboards down in Milwaukee and things like that. But, you know, does that go north of Madison? Does that go mm-hmm. – you know, I mean, there's – sometimes those of us in the northern part of the state feel like some people don't believe that the state line goes further than north than Madison.
Right.
So I think that's where it's great to have this be an all-state task force where we can, you know, talk to other people and, you know, Milwaukee, what's working for you guys and, you know, that type of thing and really just kind of work together, both from the Children and Families and Department of Justice. But, you know, we've got a couple of programs. I know we're coming up close on the
really
end.
Close, yeah.
So I just want to mention we're actually with the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire Continuing Education Program doing a continuing ed program for law enforcement, healthcare workers, social workers, that type of thing. That is coming up January 27th. So the university should have some information online about that. And then we're also doing a fundraiser this weekend on Saturday called Birthday for a Cause. And it'll be at Banbury Place in Forage. A lot of the businesses in Banbury Place, Building 13, are donating a portion of their proceeds that day towards this. And it's just kind of an excuse to, I know the older that we get, the less we want to have more things around, but we still want to celebrate with people. So that's kind of what we're doing is launching this template for people to be able to use a birthday party, but also better the world. So wanted to make sure I got those in before
Absolutely.
Before we're done. And I think I got it under the wire. So
just under the wire. That is our time for this discussion. We could spend hours talking about human trafficking and the horrors and also the optimism of the people that are working to fight it. So Jody Emerson, she's the Director of Development for Fierce Freedom. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being on the air.
My pleasure.
Jody, Jill Billings is a Democratic State Representative from Eau Claire. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you.
And listeners and callers, thank you as well. It was a great conversation as always. Next week, as I mentioned before, we'll talk about community development in the Chippewa Valley. I'm Rich Kramer. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.